This morning, wait, we better take up our tithes and offerings. I look at the ushers all standing back there at me, staring me down. Let's take up our tithes and offerings this morning. And if you are a visitor, you have a home church, you just came to watch, obviously we appreciate the offerings, but sow into where God's putting you into, because that's where you're getting the most blessed. And so today we want to see you get blessed as we give. We believe, as a scripture, give and it shall be given unto you, right? I'm going to talk to this in just a second. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When we understand that as a concept, you will find out that your life is more blessed because you learn to be a giver. And so it's not because we need more money. This has been a great year as a church. We just want you to know, we want you to be blessed too, not just us. So Father, we thank you that the seed that's being sown in faith, that the obedience of tithe is of our hearts, that we just honor you with it today. It's an act of our worship. It's an act of our obedience. And we honor you with our tithes and offerings, and we bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you're giving, you can do two things at once. I'm pretty confident of that. If you can't, then just focus on giving, and we'll have that screen go to Luke chapter 2. And then we're going to start there for a minute, and then we're going to jump in some other scriptures. But we're not going to read the whole thing because I don't know about you, but if you've not read Luke 2, that's okay. You can read it later when you get home. But this is the story about the birth of Jesus. And the birth of Jesus, we talk about every year because it's December 25th. But most importantly, there's something in this that the angels say that I think we sang about, we're talking about, that I want to quote to you, and then I want to just focus on this morning for the next 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll get you... We'll kind of get you on your way. We'll see. Your kids are back there. I think there's cookies, and so they might be sugared up by the time you get them back. So you might want a little longer sermon is what I'm saying to tell you. No. So Luke chapter 2, Jesus is about to be born. Verse 6, she's pregnant, and they brought him with swaddling clothes, so we know that. But verse 8, the angels come. Okay, so Jesus is born, and there were in the same, so Luke 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. You know, I just, without going into anything, I love to do tangents, so we're going to start with our first one right here. Just going to name them for you today. Isn't this amazing that when the presence of God came, there was fear? I'm not saying I want you to be afraid of God because fear is bad, but honor and reverence is not. When that type of glory came in the room, there was a time where people didn't just talk and act like God wasn't around. I think that if we learn to honor the presence of God, maybe if we knew that God is always around us anyways, he lives in us, we wouldn't act the same. We might not say the same things. We might not do it because there ought to be a reverence for God's presence when we're at. So whether you're at your family gatherings coming up, or whether you're just at a work party, remember, would we be honoring the presence of God with the way that we're living our lives at that moment? It's not condemnation. It's this. We live our lives before the Lord, honoring him with our words, with our actions, and everything we do. We ought to have a reverence about him. But then their fear turned a little bit like more of panic. And so the angel said in verse 11, well, hold on, or verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And for unto you is born in this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm going to stop there. You know the rest of the story, right? Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1 with me. And this morning, I want to focus on that phrase, I bring you good news today. I give you great news today. And the great news of the gospel is simply that Jesus didn't come just because he wanted to be a baby. He didn't lay in a manger very long. We sing a song, he's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's a king. And he came to this earth as one of the greatest acts of service and sacrifice because he wanted us to get a chance to know him. And that's what Christmas is about to me. It's about the joyful gift that we have received this time of year. Was it December 25th? I don't care. People say, oh, I don't know. We're going to argue. I want to argue. Then the world gives us one day a year to celebrate Jesus. You know, the mythological creature that people want to talk about because if they're atheists. You know what? We still celebrate him. And all around the world, they're celebrating this very moment, the birth of Jesus. It's historical. It's real. And there's a lot of things. But today, going on, for some of you right now, I'm going to go ahead and get political. I won't get political. I hate getting political. But, you know, there's so much bad news around there. If I say the word impeachment right now, everybody knows what's going on. It's bad news. I don't care what side you're on. It's bad news. You know what? We go argue and argue and argue. I don't want to argue because it's not that's not what I'm here for today. But there's a lot of bad news. And you know what? It's time the church becomes the messenger of good news. There's good news to be told. Even in the midst of your bad, there's good to come. If we can focus on the good, you're going to go to a family gathering. You know, yesterday afternoon, we had my wife's side over to the house, and we had 30-something people. And one of the best gatherings, even afterwards, some stayed late. Very late. And it was we had a great, you know what? What'd you say? Oh, yeah. We had a good time. That was good. You know what? We had fellowship. And there were some differences and stuff, but you know what? We made the best of everything. That's what you can do in families. Make the best of it. Have a good time. Bring good news. Rather than you be the one that's gossiping about Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so or this cousin or nephew, why don't you be the one that brings good news? I'm jumping ahead, way ahead of my notes, by the way. So let's pull back a little bit here and let's get back to the notes because it's even better. The notes are actually not that bad today. So my heart is this year, let's be the messenger of good news. And it all ends with one message, and that's Jesus, right? So let's read. This chapter in James 1 is one that we could probably spend weeks on, but I'm not going to jump at all because I just want to get to the heart of the middle of the chapter. But this chapter talks about one of the most controversial stuff about consider it joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. For when you encounter trials, it does this, right? It gets your faith built. Because when we understand that trials come at us so we can grow, not that God causes bad things to happen to teach you a lesson, that's a bad message. We don't preach that. I don't believe that. God doesn't send cancer on somebody or bad on somebody, go, oh, taught him a lesson. No, why would Jesus says if their son asked for bread, he'd give him a stone. Only good, that's where we're going to get to in a minute. God only does good. He's not going to put bad on somebody. So, well, I hope they learn their lesson this time. If not, wait till my next trick. Hope they make it through that one. No, this is not the God we serve. So all of a sudden we attribute bad when something bad happens. Well, why did God allow this? Oh, time out. Why? Let's look at our own hearts and say, what happened in us that maybe we opened the door to it? Amen? Amen. We don't want to take responsibility because that's an evil word today. But what about the fact that there's people around us that made decisions that caused it? God doesn't want bad to happen. He wants us to be the messenger of good news, great joy. He wants us to bring this kind of joy to people around us. So it says, consider it joy that you encounter these things because it gives you patience and it grows your faith to a place where you go through it no matter what. At the end, you're greater than when you started. But then it says this, but when you're going through it, don't be double-minded. Verses 7, it says, he won't receive anything from the Lord because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we got to stay focused on the word. And I'm just trying to give it. So let's jump to verse 12. That's what I'll focus on. I could teach that another day. It's good. It really is good news. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say, however, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts any man. Any questions about this? I think I just said it, but I'll let James say a little bit better. God doesn't tempt you with evil, and he doesn't give evil to you. God doesn't do evil. Evil and God are opposites. True? Verse 14, but every man that is tempted was when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. It brings a place of separation between us and the life we're living. So those choices are there, but let's focus now. That's the bad. That's us in our humanity of sin, but Jesus came to set us free from that, amen? So now verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't focus on that for a minute. For every good and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, which in whom there is no variness, neither shadow turning. And of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, that we should be his kind, first fruits of creatures. Those two verses this morning is the heart of what I want to share with you. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. I really believe this Christmas season, you've encountered some hardships. Maybe some things in your life has went wrong. Maybe we've had some unexpected loss. Maybe we've had some situations go bad where there's marriage issues or kids, whatever. Hey, listen, we live in a world that things happen and we can't control. Sometimes they're not even our choices, they're other people's choices. But I want to give you some great news. Jesus did not come as a little baby to stay as a baby so you could celebrate a little baby. He came to be a conquering king and to give you hope, joy, and peace in the midst of the trials. Amen. Jesus came to give you good news. So my encouragement is this. Find the good in it. What can you do to bring good in the midst of bad? What can we do to bring light in the midst of darkness? What can we do to bring life when there's death? What can we do when to bring hope when there's hopelessness? We have the privilege and blessing to go to every workplace you're going to go this next few days. You go to every family gathering, ever. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can be the one that brings hope when there's hopelessness. And I know in my heart today, that's what Jesus, good tidings, great joy. Imagine walking in the room when it's bad, when there's division and strife. Now, not every family. You know, we all joke about our dreaded family reunion. I love getting together with my family because it's very spirited. Everyone looks over at my brother right there. It's very spirited. We have a lot of fun. We talk theology, and I quit because, I mean, believe it or not, I'm not the greatest theologian in my family by a long shot. So, you know, or we talk sports, and I'm a fan, but not really. We have a lot of fun. It's spirited. We don't play risk in my family anymore for a reason. There's a reason for it. I'm not saying that there might be some assaults because I lose. For those on the side over here to not hear that, he says, because I lose. No, it's because we all lose our cool is what happens. You're attacking me. You're always picking on me. You know, I actually sat out last year, watched it, and I saw the same thing transpire without me playing, by the way. So what it is an opportunity to have fun. Rather than going and looking at as, oh, how bad it is, let's enjoy each other. Let's enjoy our differences. Let's laugh about the things that we really don't want to laugh about when it's going on. We can be the vessel of Christ to bring good news and great joy everywhere we go. Why can't we bring hope in our families, in our loved ones? Or maybe this year, it's time to get outside our comfort zones of our four walls of our home or our church and go find someone out there to bless. We've been talking for the last couple months about the Lord filling us up with his compassion for lost ones, hurting ones, and I'll get to that in just a minute, but I'm asking for the Lord to give you a passion. If you can't find someone around here that needs it, go find someone out there that does. You know, I know that it's very common for Christmas Eve and here's to go to travel. You know, go to Walmart and find somebody that had to. Go find somebody that just needs to be loved on. Because when you do that, you're bringing them good news and great joy. And if you're really nice, bring a gift card to Starbucks if that's where you like, or McDonald's, or can't do steak and shake. Beefcake, bring something with you. Say, hey, I just want to bless your night. You only just buy one of them. Find the one that the Lord leads you to. Why? Because I want to be somebody who is going to learn the blessing of being one who gives my life away. You know, Paul says, I have no idea. He says, he quotes Jesus saying this. So there's a quote in here. In Acts 20, 35, you don't have to turn there. It said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you've never experienced in that life, I want to encourage you to start today. Because when you learn the blessing that you can give your life to somebody, just your time with somebody, one of the greatest blessings I have as being the pastor here for 20-something years is I never realize, and I still don't realize, I wish I did more, the value of me just being able to spend 15 minutes with somebody and sowing my time in them and them, and that blessing comes in an awesome way. When we learn that the blessing of just giving your time, someone just needs a listening ear once in a while. Someone just needs some encouragement. Maybe you don't even realize it. You just shoot them a text message and say, hey, listen, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you today. I'm praying for you. You know, we're all good. She's going to live, we hope. Right? Okay, we're good. It's all good. Still going. I mean, maybe not, by the way. Please don't tell her I said anything. Anyways, when we learn the joy of what it means to give our lives and use the example of Jesus coming on this earth, what can we give this year? And then don't just make it a Christmas thing. Let's make it a lifestyle. How can we be better at doing what Jesus models right here? He has only come to give good gifts. So if you get a bad gift around the tree, it wasn't from God, okay? So I'll just let you know that. If you open up like I did, the sweater, like, oh, nice, mom and dad. No, don't do that. It was well-meaning, but it definitely wasn't from God. Okay, next scripture. I didn't say that. Okay, back to the notes. We really need to stay on this because I only got like 7 minutes left, so we got to hurry up. So let's get on. Actually, if you have your Bibles, jump over to Matthew chapter 18. I was here a couple weeks ago. Kenny and I have been kind of rotating weeks, and he couldn't make it. That's actually why the whole announcements and everything, because we missed his spot. So Amy just filled in nicely for Kenny, and I was going to fill in nicely for Kenny, and we both did. So we got you double blessed. So Matthew 18, we're going to just, while you're turning there, let me just preface what I'm going to say. When we learn the lifestyle of what it means to do what Jesus came for, to give good news to people, to be the ambassador of good news, to bring hope to those people, you know, there's people hurting all around us. Do you know there's people that right now are more hurting on the inside than you'll ever see on the outside? So sometimes you don't go up to them because you're intimidated by their appearance of having it all together. But trust me, if the Lord is leading you right now in these next few days, weeks, and months ahead, forget it, it's not just a seasonal message. I challenge you, no matter what they look like and what you know about them, would you just hear the Lord? And if you have something to encourage them with, you have no idea how much they might need that. Your obedience to just blessing people. We got to get out of the mindset that we're here to prove you wrong. We're arguing. No, just be a blessing to people. Give them encouragement. And then maybe they're not in the church. Maybe it's, you know, I hope, as you guys have heard us a lot, those that are visiting, we spent the last couple of months really encouraging our 2020 vision. Our 2020 vision is to love, I already said it earlier, to honor God's presence in this place, to honor God's word, and to do a better job honoring people, not only in this church, but out of this church. We've got to honor God's people. We've got to honor the people around us. That, you know, and we're going to describe them in just a second to you of what Jesus called them and what we can look for when we're out there winning them with the love of Jesus. We need to start looking not inside us and not around us like this, but lift up your eyes and see, as John 4 says, the fields are white for harvest. This is harvest time. It's not just Christmas. It's harvest time. There are people right now that have more need and more hope needs, more poor. I even put it here, what about the poor? Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. Why don't we do a better job doing that, meeting their needs? Maybe you don't realize how people are struggling, but you have something to offer them and we don't. Imagine what a blessing it would be if you learn. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want you to learn the joy of that. I was taught that in my home. I learned my dad, you know, scripture says, no man nothing but to love. You know what? My dad taught us that growing up. And I hate owing people. If you're around me, you know, I don't owe anybody nothing, I hope, I'm aware of. But I like it when they owe me. Why? Because that's blessing them. It's not a thing I'm better than. No, I want to make sure I'm out blessing everyone around me. There's only a couple people in my life right now that I'm challenging. I keep Mark and I are toe-to-toe because that guy, it's hard to out-bless. But there's a couple people in the room I want to out-bless everybody because he has the same mindset. And that's why it's so fun being around people, because you can't out-give God or you can't out-bless one another. When you learn the secret of blessing people around you, the joy is great in your own heart. But the second part of this message I want to encourage you with is Matthew 18, verse 10 and 11. Take heed. You despise not one of these little ones. I say unto you that in heaven these angels always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save which are lost. I shared this verse a couple weeks ago with you, and it's been on my heart. It's continued on my heart. But today I want to read you a definition out of the Webster's Dictionary that I pulled off this week. I want you to read. I want you to hear this. This is the target group that Jesus came after. And I'm asking for the Spirit of God to move in your heart right now and hear these definitions and move you to compassion right now. I'm not asking for you to cry. I'm not asking for an outward emotion. I'm asking for something on the inside of you to just grab a hold of you and say, Jesus came to seek and save these people right here. This is literally just the Webster's Dictionary printed off. This is what Webster's describes the people that Jesus said he came to. Number one, not made of, so not one yet, and unclaimed. People who have no identity. No longer possessed, or in parentheses here, I didn't write any of this. This all printed really right from the internet. One of lost reputation. Maybe someone who's been shamed and have lost not only, now the ones have no identity, the ones have lost their identity. Ruined or destroyed physically or morally. Those who have fallen in sin, or maybe those who have been, maybe those who are impaired physically, they're lost. I'm not saying they're taken away or beyond reach. Lost faith, lost the ability to even see hope again in their own lives. Hardened, insensible. Remember these people that you hate to, it's so easy to hate, those hard ones. Then you walk up to them and maybe they're the different political persuasion of you. Maybe they're atheists. Maybe they're agnostic. Maybe they're a different religion completely. And they're so hardened to what you have to say. They're lost. Can you look at them as Jesus came to seek and save them? How do you seek them? He went back and just said, oh, man, hope they don't go to hell, but I'm not going to go after them. No, why don't we have a mandate to go and do what Jesus did? Seek and save. No longer visible. Someone who's just lost in the crowd. Just a face in the crowd. Someone who doesn't even want to be noticed because of maybe their own shortcomings. Lacking assurance, no self-confidence. Helplessness. Absorbed, not appreciated or understood. Obscured, overlooked during the process of activities. The last one, hopelessness. I don't know about you, but those definitions are just a dictionary. And Jesus said, I've came to seek and save those people right there. So when you encounter somebody like that in the next few hours, days, weeks, and months ahead of you, there ought to be an alarm inside of you, your compassion alarm. They're lost. And you know what? Maybe we ought to stop asking whether they know Jesus or not right away and instead go minister to their lost condition. Jesus said, I'll leave the 99 for the one. He's talking about believers. You know what? There's lost believers too. Did you know that? Maybe they're not lost and maybe their salvation is right, but they're lost. They've lost their way. They've been deceived. They've opened up doors in their life that they shouldn't open up, and now they've compromised, and they feel like they don't belong. There are believers that fit that definition also. That's why I said earlier, this is just a group of people we got to look for. When you see helplessness, hopelessness, loss of identity, people living in shame, let's stop asking if they know Jesus right away. And why don't you be the one to go seek them out and to save them from their hopelessness because they're lost. And you let them know they can be found again, and then you lead them back to the one who loves them, which is Jesus. You shouldn't have to ask someone if they know Jesus. We should be seeking after them, loving them so much, by the time you leave them, they know Jesus. You see the difference? We've been taught evangelism is going up and saying, if you die today, you're going to go to hell? Well, I hope not. Well, if you know Jesus, you are. So effective. We just scared the hell out of them. No, you didn't. They looked at you and went, yeah, well, you know what? I prayed some prayer when I was four. Okay, you're saved. Thanks. Nice talking to you. No. Oh, you missed the whole point. What's this guy going through? He needs to be loved. Worship team, you can come on up, by the way. He needs to be known that he's cared about. Because maybe he is lost in the sense where he prayed a prayer, but doesn't even understand what salvation is about. Maybe he is saved. Maybe we don't know, but you know what we do know? We can go out and love him. We can do a better job laying our lives out for people like Jesus did. He came to this planet, this earth, to seek and save those which are lost. And he is mandating us to do the same thing now. Seek him. They're not going to come to you always. You know, at this church, at this altar, over the last 22 years, we have seen plenty of people come forward. And I've had the privilege and blessing to pray with them and see them get saved. Those are good days. They didn't come in here without one of you inviting them. But more importantly, you know what I want to see? I want to see you guys make those same altars right out there where you're at. I think it's pretty awesome if you go to Kroger one day on the way to getting your eggnog later, because everyone needs eggnog. I love it. Anyway, sorry. Moment of weakness there. And then this person in front of you takes the last, because there's no, why is it, by the way, with eggnog, they don't produce enough? You notice that every time there's fights in stores? No, it's not because it's nasty. It's because people love it. Get thee behind me, wife. Gosh, who's she married to? Anyways. But right there in the midst of Kroger, you pour out the love of Jesus. Forget the eggnog. But pour out someone who's in need. Or maybe you offer to buy their groceries. I'm taking a little too far, aren't I? But wouldn't it be awesome right there? You're able to show them that God loves them so much. Right there in the milk. Right there where the milk's at. And you have a chance to pray with them right there. Don't wait and have to go somewhere. You see them hopeless. You see them hurting. You see them lost. Why can't we be the one to go and seek them out and pray them right where they're at and say, hey, here's my name. I'd love to follow up with you sometime and let you know. This isn't just a one-time thing. I want you to know I'm seeking you out today. Now, you don't have to say those words. They're going to feel it. So this year, 2020, ending this year with Christmas. Christmas, the message is simply this. Jesus came to this earth because of us. He sought me out. He came after me. His love came at me in a way that, yes, I was 6 years old in my dad's bedroom. Yes, right there by the bed. I'll never forget that day. Because I knew a message in me that for God, back then, for God so loved the world that he gave his life for Adam. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're visiting. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you feel lost right now. Maybe you walked in here going, I just came to see kids play. What am I doing here today? Their music was loud. And hey, listen, there's a lot of things we can get distracted by. But today I want one thing to be so encouraging to you. Jesus came to seek you out. If you're hurting, if you're hopeless, if maybe life is just not treating you the way you thought it should treat you, today could be a day that you could have your hope back and you don't have to be lost no more. There's Jesus who came to this earth, a little baby. But he's a king of kings today. Would you stand to your feet? I'd like to invite you this morning to enter in. And normally I'm just going to go pray a prayer over all of you and have you blessed. But I'm going to do something different. Because we've been doing something different the last couple months. If our altar team could come on forward today, I want someone to pray with you. Because I'm not going to assume that a sinner's prayer or a prayer, just a general prayer is going to meet every one of your needs. I'm going to ask that while we do this last song, and we're going to do a song a song that's going to allow you to just enter into God's presence while you're here, would you just let maybe it's pride, whatever it is, let it down for just a minute and take the walk. I mean, the longest walk might be 40 feet, 35 feet. Maybe take a walk up here today and say, listen, I'm feeling lost. I feel like I'm just missing something right now. I feel like right now, I feel like I go to heaven. Maybe I don't even know if I will, but today I feel lost. I feel like I'm one of those people in that definition right there. I've lost my purpose, my identity. Today I just want to be found again. And I want to be loved by Jesus. So if that's you this morning, when we start singing, I'm going to open these altars wide open. I'm going to ask for you not to delay, not to wait, and just kind of get the courage to get up there. No, you don't need courage. You just need faith to get up there and say, I'm going to take a step of faith today, and I'm not going to turn back away. I'm feeling the way I'm feeling for a reason, and I want out of it. I don't want to be this way. Heavenly Father,